Let's pray. Lord, we just love you this morning. And Lord, I could just listen to those words all day long because we need that reminder. Lord, it's nothing we can do to earn salvation other than accept the free gift of grace and mercy that was given to us by you through Jesus Christ on the cross. God, I just pray today, as Christians, as Christ followers, as the church, I've been reading a devotion, and a lot of people today are celebrating the day of Pentecost, and that's the day where you sent your Holy Spirit down to us and to the church for your followers as the advocate. And God, I just pray today, as Corvin said, we know your Spirit is here. But Lord, we just pray that we will allow your Holy Spirit to not only give us the strength and the power when we call upon you and we need you, but Lord, to work in our hearts today, to soften our hearts, to open up the eyes of our hearts so we may hear your word when we read your scriptures, when we go through the parable that we're going to go through today, that you will speak to us and that we will allow you to speak to us. And that we will take it and we will walk it out, we'll apply it to our life. And Lord, as always, I pray today, if there's just one person that's here today that's never come into your vineyard, that doesn't know how to get into the kingdom of God, or maybe has never accepted salvation that's available to them, the grace and the mercy, God, I pray today would be the day that they would accept that gift, that they would receive it. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to jump right in. This passage, I'd actually had, you know, I went back and looked at it. A lot of times I am 1 week at a time kind of guy. So I'm busy. My schedule's busy. I'm distracted, just like anybody else. But a lot of times I'll just concentrate on the passage that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart that week. And we've been preaching through Matthew, and so I don't normally go ahead and read ahead. And so last week, as I started studying this past week, this passage, and started reading about it, I said, man, I should have included that into last week's scripture, and we could have made a little headway. But as I started praying about it this week and thinking about it, I didn't really sit down and outline my sermon until yesterday. God revealed something to me like, Anthony, you would have missed all of this if you would have just tried to include that in the backside of it. And so we say it all the time, but I keep learning this, but God's scripture is so rich and every verse is useful, right? It is useful to teach us, maybe to rebuke us, or maybe to give us the strength and the power to go out and do the things that God wants us to do. And so we're in no rush to go through God's word. Amen? At least I'm not anyways, right? If y'all haven't figured that out. But Matthew chapter 21, if you want to find that, verse 28 through 32, I think. I've got in my notes 31, but I think we're going to be in 32. The title of the message today is What It Takes to Enter God's Kingdom. What does it take to enter God's kingdom? Today we're going to see Jesus still talking to these religious leaders. He's in the temple. He's finishing or continuing his discussion with these religious leaders that came to combat him, or to maybe, you know, say, well, they asked Christ this question. We read it last week. What authority do you have to be doing the things that you're doing? Right? He had just healed. Well, first of all, he turned over the tables in the temple because they were in there making a profit off of people who came to worship. And then he's healing people, and the people that were blind, he made them see. People that couldn't walk, he made them walk. And then they come up and they say, well, who gives you the right to do these things in our temple? And Christ, knowing their hearts and knowing their motives, answered them with another question, if you remember. He said, did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or did it come from mere human authority? And we saw these religious leaders, they deliberately chose to remain stubborn in their unbelief when they got together. And they said, what are we going to say? If we say this, we say that, whatever. And they came back and they said, we don't know. They knew that John the Baptist was serving and preaching under the authority of God. And they knew that Jesus was from God. They had seen him do all these miracles. And I believe when you were just standing in the presence of Jesus, I don't care who you were, you could tell that there was something different about the Son of God than any just a normal man. But they couldn't admit it without having to leave behind their pride. Maybe leave behind their position within the church. Maybe their possessions. Maybe their selfishness, or maybe their sin. And we pointed out the tragedy of this kind of stubborn unbelief and how it still happens today. So many people choose not to believe the truth that Christ is the only way to heaven, that we have to repent of our sins because it may disrupt what they have, or maybe what they've convinced themselves is right and good for them. So this is where we pick up today. They're still standing there. He's still talking to these same guys, the same group of religious leaders, these elders in the temple. And Jesus is continuing to try to help these self-righteous religious leaders to understand what it really takes to enter into the God, into the kingdom of God. What does God really expect from us? What does God really want? How do you miss the boat when you're a leader in the temple? And he's saying, this is all that really you have to do. And he's going to drive home the point that religion without belief and without repentance is worthless. So the Lord's laid it on my heart this morning to break my cycle a little bit. And before we read the word, let's go to the Lord and pray. Normally, it's just the way that my style. I normally pray after we read. But God's put on my heart this morning. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Father, Lord, I love you this morning. And I thank you for everybody that is here today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I've seen it in my life. I've read it in your word. I've seen it in other people's lives. You don't make mistakes. Lord, there's a reason, and you knew that we would be in this passage today when each person, including myself, when you knew that we would be here today. And so, Father, I just pray today that we would acknowledge that we would listen to your word, that we would listen to what your word says and say, how does this affect me? How does it speak to me? God, what do you want me to hear from this passage? It's more than just reading through the scripture, that we would hear it and that we would find ourselves in this parable. Lord, that's my prayer today. And that we would, again, that we would let your spirit work on us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, yes, through 32. All right, parable of the two sons. And remember, he's still standing here in the temple, continuing his conversation that he was having. He says this, but what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. My dad's here today. It sounds like me, doesn't it? No, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and he went anyway. Then the father told the older son, you go. And he said, yes. Yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, the first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sin. Now this, to me, is one of the most simple and clear parables to understand. And to be honest with you, when I was reading this week, I was thinking about it. Most of the time, I just read through it and don't even think of it because it's short and it doesn't take a lot of understanding for me to say, okay, what I got to go back and read that again. You just skip through it and you read over it. Not that some aren't clear. Jesus, that's why he taught in parables. But personally, just for myself, this is one that's just short and to the point. And for me, it's just easy to understand. So I'm going to jump right into it this morning. And I want to ask you this morning, are we ready to get into God's word this morning? All right, Corbin's ready. If you are ready to get into God's word this morning, let God speak to your heart. Can you just testify and say amen this morning? Amen. Good. So let's look back at verse 28. Go back, right back to verse 28. And I just want to point out a few things here. It says this. But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. So here's a few things we need to understand about this parable before we really get into it. Number one is this. The command that the father gave was to go. right? Kind of sounds like what Jesus said before he left, before he ascended back into heaven. The Great Commission is what we call it. He says what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this command that the Father gave was to go out and to do work. It's very clear and it's very direct. The Father meant what he said. You go and work for me. He didn't give some other option. He didn't give some other choice. Well, if you don't want to, son, I'll get somebody else to do that work for you. No, he says, you go out and work for me. The Father gave his son a command to go and serve him. Number two, the second thing that we need to understand, or maybe the second word we need to really look at it, that the Father used the word was today, right? He didn't say tomorrow when it's convenient for you, go out and work for me. He said, today, serve me in my vineyard. I know I was guilty of this. For years, God was calling me, and I said, well, God, maybe once I retire, I'll start doing stuff for you. Maybe once I get my plans and my career out of the way, then I'll start serving you. And I think he just chuckled and laughed a little bit up there. He didn't say, serve me when my kids are grown up and moved away so I've got less distractions and I've got more free time. The Father gave a command for his sons to serve him today. If you don't know this, let me remind you this morning that God wants you to serve him today. He wants a relationship with you today. He wants you to be in his will starting today. You see, the nighttime is coming. If you think about it from a vineyard standpoint or from a farmer's standpoint, the nighttime is coming when you won't be able to get work done. The Father knew that. He said, today, right now, while the time, there's no better time than the present to go out and work for me. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 1, it says this. And this is one of my favorites. I had to look it up this morning because I forgot. It was on my heart just this morning. Don't let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your Creator. Right? So many times, no matter how old you are, you're going to be older than that tomorrow. So it can apply to us all, right? And we say, well, right now, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll give God, after I'm done doing everything I want to do or having fun with my friends or a certain sin that I want to try out, or I want to, you know, dip my toes in the pool of this and try that, then I'll give my life to the Lord. He says, don't let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your Creator, because we're not guaranteed another day, and the nighttime is coming. Tomorrow, the harvest, it might be rotten. So God, the Father was saying this, look, go today and go out and pick the harvest that is ripe. Tomorrow it might not be any good. Anybody raises a garden, you know, if you let squash or zucchini or anything like that, or any kind of melons sit on the ground too long, what happens? They start to rot. You got to be there when the harvest is ready to be picked. The Father wanted them to serve him and work for him immediately. That's something we need to hear before we get into that. That was the command that he gave. John chapter 9, verse 4 says this, we must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. All right, church, we need to hear that this morning. We are his church. We are the ones who are to be sent out into the world. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38 says this, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused. They were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray that the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into the field. I've said this before, but this is one of my prayers for this church, that more workers, and God has been answering it right before my eyes and before your eyes. God is bringing in new workers and more workers and rising up workers who have been here for years to do new things and to try new things and say, how can I help? How can I get involved? No matter how big or how small, there are so many people that are rising up to be workers within the church and in the community and reaching the lost. This is what we're supposed to do. Now let's look at verse 29, 30, and 31 back in Matthew chapter 21. It says this, the son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But then he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, the first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors, prostitutes, will get into the kingdom of God before you do. And remember, he's talking to these religious leaders when he says this. You see, this is why I said it's very clear and easy to understand. Jesus just gave us the point of the parable right there. He didn't go through a lot and make it hard to understand. He gave us the point of the parable right there. Sinners enter the kingdom of heaven before those who have empty profession of faith. Note what Jesus says. Jesus identifies the man and his two sons. The man is the one who owns, the man that owns the vineyard, that's God. God is the owner of the vineyard. He is the Father. All right, and that might seem kind of obvious, but we got to make sure, because sometimes I got to do that. I got to make sure we understand where this parable is going. So the Father is God. The first son represents those who are non-religious. All right, maybe they didn't grow up in church. They've never been to church. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus, with salvation. They didn't want anything to do with the Bible. They don't know any of the traditions or the religious teachings and some of the things that we that grew up in the church know. They probably have never even thought about praying and thanking God for their meal or whatever it is that those who have a religious background do, the things that we do. They're non-religious. That's who this first son represents. They simply never gave any attention to God or the church. They would be those who were like the tax collectors in those days. See, the tax collectors were all about that money. They still are today, I think, right? I just had to pay our taxes the other day. Not going to get into that. Holy Spirit, we need you. This would be those who were like tax collectors in those days. Those people were worldly minded and they were interested only in the money that they could rob the people from. See, the tax collectors in those days, what they would do is they would collect more than what was required and they'd take a little bit off the top. And that's how they became rich. This would be also like maybe the prostitutes in that time. And this would be like anybody like that today who lives for the physical desires of the flesh. They love the immoral sexual or sensual pleasures more than they love God. They don't care what they know is wrong or what they know is right. We talked a little bit about that last week. They're going to do whatever makes their physical flesh and the desires of their heart, whatever they want, they're going to serve that more than they're going to serve God. That's what the first son represents. And lastly, we have the second son. The second son represents those who are religious in this world, right? Those who work hard, maybe they dress a certain way or they keep certain traditions or they think they have to follow certain rules. They want to hold ceremonies and rituals, but they never really live out their faith. Those are the ones that maybe either are raised in church from the earliest childhood, but religion and church membership is the only thing in their life that points to God. Okay, so if somebody didn't see them at church on Sunday morning, they would never know that they had a relationship with God. And the vineyard represents the kingdom of God. That vineyard that the Father wants us to go work in is the kingdom of God. Now, make sure you don't miss this morning. The Father gave this command to go and to go out and serve Him today. And work in His vineyard, He gave it not to one, not just to the other. He gave it to both sons. And see, this tells me that God has a desire for every single person that He created. Every one of His children to be workers in His vineyard. Whether I'm living for the worldly desires and money and possessions, or maybe I've never given Him a thought or care in this whole world. I've just been living my life the way that I want to do it. Or whether I've spent my entire life trying to please God by some kind of religious ceremonies and rituals, or whatever it is, God's desire and command is the same for you, for me, and for everybody else on earth. He wants us to make that choice to serve Him and Him alone. That's all God really wants. Even though He's rebuking these religious leaders here, even though they seem like the bad guy in the picture, we must understand that He rebuked them because He wanted to get their attention. He wasn't rebuking them to make them look foolish or to hurt their feelings or to tell them that they weren't going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's not what he was really doing. I believe He wanted to get their attention. And there is no doubt that they were shocked, that He shocked them when he declared that their ideas of religion, all the things that they had worked for their whole life, it was wrong. They had missed the point. He was telling them that the religion church attendance, membership, whatever it is, doing good deeds and charities, if it's not enough to get you into the kingdom of heaven. You've missed the point if you think that you have to work your way into heaven. Good works, charity service, tithing, following the rules maybe, or church commitment, all these are good things, but none of these are enough to bridge the gap that our sin has created between myself, between you and your holy and just and sovereign Father in heaven, your Creator. Can you just imagine Jesus in the temple telling these religious leaders who devoted their whole life to rising to the level of where they were in the temple? And here he is in the temple telling these religious leaders that these despised, rejected people, the corrupted tax collectors, prostitutes, would enter the kingdom of God before them or ahead of them. Think about the insult that he just whirled. Think about how he just turned their world upside down. What he was telling these religious leaders and these people was this: what you have, even though they had attained the highest position in the temple, they could go back in the holiest of holy places in the temple where nobody else could go. He says, what you have, even though you have all this, it's not enough. Something is missing. And that something that was missing is this one word. It's called repentance. It's called repentance. This is what makes so many people refuse to admit that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come through the Father except through Him. So many people choose not to choose salvation through Christ because they don't like the word repentance. They want Him to be their Savior. I want Jesus to be my Savior, but He's also supposed to be my Lord. See, that's two different things. See, if Jesus is my Lord, that means I will listen to Him. I'll surrender to Him. I will allow Him to have authority over me. If somebody is my Lord, I bow before them and I say, not my will, Lord, but yours. What do you want from me? Oh, yes, I love certain sins that I love to go into, and I can't get my flesh to stay away from them. But someone who allows Jesus to be the Lord of their life, you'll fall down and say, Lord, give me the strength. I want to serve you. Every time that desire comes to me, let me see you. Let me look to you. Let me seek your face because I want to serve you and not my flesh. It could be a multitude of many things. We would allow Him to have authority over us if He was the Lord of our life. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From then on, it says this: from then on, Jesus began to preach. So here's Jesus preaching. So don't say, oh, the preacher was up here preaching on repentance. I'm just doing what Jesus did. Jesus he was preaching on repentance. He said these words: repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. See, this is the same one who on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. So He wants to forgive you, but He also wants you to repent of your sins. He wants me to repent of my sins and turn to God because the kingdom of heaven is near. When Jesus tells this parable, and he says this first son disobeys at first, but later he changed his mind. And I think this is such a great way to look at that word repentance. That's what it really means. It means that we come to our senses. We say, okay, I know I was going this way for a while, but I'm ready to change my mind. And instead of following the flesh, instead of following the ways of the world, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Listen to what Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church in Corinth. Now, this is a church that they were missing the point. They had all things, they were messing up. And this is what he says. He says, think carefully. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, if anybody wants to look it up later. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. Sometimes we just got to stop. Before we get into the sin, before we love our money more than God, before we love our position or our pride or our selfishness or maybe our lust or whatever else it is, before we open up that site on our phone or a laptop, whatever we know we shouldn't be looking at, and we know we feel guilty every time we do it, whatever it is that we're doing, not to pick out a certain sin, but that's just the things that I think about. Think carefully about what is right and put it down and stop sinning. For to your, he goes on to say this, for to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. He was talking to the people within the church. Sadly, there are people within the church that do not know God at all. You see, Christ didn't just rebuke these religious leaders to leave them there with no hope. He wasn't just beating up on them or making them look bad in front of their people that they served, or they wanted them to serve them. But either way, he tells them that these sinners will enter the kingdom of heaven before them. But he goes on to tell them why this is going to take place. He doesn't just say, like, you have no hope, you've missed the boat, you're going to hell. That's not what he did to these religious leaders. He tells them exactly why he said what he said. Look at verse 32 with me. Back in Matthew chapter 21, verse 32, he says, "For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you did not believe him." There's the reason right there. You didn't believe. God sent you a forerunner to tell you what was going to happen, that I was coming, that I was going to be the Messiah, that I was coming to save you of your sin and set your people free and all these things, but you didn't believe him. He goes on to say this, "While tax collectors and the prostitutes..." They did. They believed him. "And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." The reason is simple. People who try to earn God's grace through religious ceremonies or any other thing, or good deeds or charities, what they're doing is they're actually rejecting Christ. Okay, so that sounds, you're like, wait a minute. You're telling me that somebody could be dedicated to the church, and they could be doing all these things for God, and they could dedicate their life to the Salvation Army or whatever it is, and without them accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior, that actually means they're rejecting Christ. What they're doing is they're rejecting John the Baptist's message about Jesus being the Messiah. They're basically rejecting the whole idea that a Savior has come to give us salvation. So when we think that we can obtain righteousness through our works, or maybe through anything other than through Jesus Christ, we're actually rejecting Christ. We're rejecting him. Even if we gave our whole life to serve in the church, some other charity, maybe the SPCA or the Ruiton Club, we can name them all day long, or any other good thing. These are all good things, nothing bad that I'm talking about. You know, it's good to be a part of these civic organizations and to donate to charities. But if we think that we can obtain righteousness through that alone, that somehow if we just do enough of that, that God will accept us, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven without Christ. We cannot accomplish what Christ has already accomplished on the cross. He's already accomplished it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time." He's already completed the work on the cross. It goes on to say this, "He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God." What a sweet picture. What a humbling picture. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. I find it interesting that here we are thousands of years after this parable was first taught by Christ. Thousands of years later, when this parable was first spoken by Jesus Christ, and there are still so many people who try so hard to obtain righteousness on their own strength. There are people every Sunday that attend church services. There are people all over the world who dedicate their lives to great causes. There are even those who will leave their life savings to a certain charity. Yet they're just like these religious leaders, tragically. They missed the point. God wants you to do great work. He wants me to do great works. He wants me to be wise with my time. He wants me to be giving with my talents and all those things. He wants me to help other people who are in need. He wants me to be involved with the local church. But the difference is this. Instead of me trying to work my way into God's vineyard, God wants me just to come into his vineyard. And then he will give me the work that he has for me to do. Is that making sense today? Can we get a head nod a little bit? Let me repeat that. Instead of me trying to work my way into God's vineyard, God wants me to come into his vineyard, and he will give me the work that he has for me to do. You see, religion by itself creates its own vineyard. Or maybe I can work in my own vineyard, and somehow God will be pleased enough with that where it'll undo all the sin that I've rebelled against Him and all the times that I've ignored Him like those sons did. And what God wants for us is to enter into His vineyard by the way of faith in Christ and His righteousness. God wants us to come into His vineyard by the way of faith in Christ and His righteousness. I'm going to ask my brother Dwayne Phillips. Dwayne, where are you at this morning? Come on up here. You don't have to sprint or anything, but we're all waiting on you. But I want him to share a testimony. And I dropped this on him this morning. I want him to share. He's going to share a little testimony of what happened this week right here at Fork Union Baptist Church at our Tuesday night Bible study. Dwayne, I'm going to let you use this mic right up here, brother.
Well, I'll tell you a story more than a testimony. And there's a phrase that kind of comes back to my mind. It's a worldly phrase. It says, put your money where your mouth is, right? You ever heard anybody say that? Can you hear me now? Put your money where your mouth is. Which basically says, are you going to live out what you preach? And this past week, we've been doing a study on Tuesday nights about missions. You know, what is the mission field? It's not just across the seas. It can be across the street. It can be next door. It can be in your own house. And this week, just as we were finishing our discussion on missions, two gentlemen that were traveling, they happened to have everything that they belonged to them on their back or in their hands. So they were traveling through town. They happened past our window here, just as we were getting ready to pray to close. And it was truly a divine appointment because they were hungry, hadn't eaten in days, and we just happened to be here on Tuesday night talking about missions. We invited them in, gave them food to eat, and the Holy Spirit pressed upon me to make sure that they understood who Jesus was to me. And this is not patting me on the back, because if you were there and witnessed it, you saw the most butchered up version of the gospel delivered to these two gentlemen that's ever been delivered. But I could see that the Holy Spirit was working on one of these gentlemen's heart. And he started to tell me about some of the bad things he'd done in his life. And, you know, I could tell that he had a lot of remorse about the way he had lived and the way he'd grown up. And for lack of a better way of explaining it, the Holy Spirit wanted me to ask him, are you tired of running? And he looked at me really funny, kind of with tears in his eyes. I said, are you tired of running from the pain you feel? He said, I am. I'm so tired. He said, for the last 4 days, God's put one person after another in my life that's pointing me back to Him. And now I show up here, my friend said, please, let's not stop here and bother these people. They're having church or whatever. He said, but I couldn't help it. I had to stop. I knew there was something in here I needed. And so I told him, I said, well, you came to church, so I'm going to be bold enough to ask you, do you want to know the Lord as your Savior? And he said, I do. And we led him through a time of prayer, prayed for him. He prayed to receive Christ, and when he was finished, he said, I could see the joy in his eyes. He said, I can't explain it. I just feel so much lighter. I feel clean. And that's what Christ is calling us all to do, is just to come to Him, to stop running from our pain, stop running from our struggles, stop running from our sin, stop running from the bad things we've done, and just let Him cleanse us. Let Him be our Savior. But also, if you are a believer, He's telling you to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, it's great that we have found Him as Savior. But it's now our job to show that love to the world. Even if it feels uncomfortable, even if you're scared, I'm living proof that you may not have it all together, but if you just say, okay, Lord, I will obey, He'll bless it. But it's not our job to save anyone. It's only our job just to be obedient. So,
amen.
You're called to do what you can with what you have where you're at.
Amen.
And leave the rest up to the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. As the choir comes back up this morning, that is something that God just laid on my heart this morning. And I called Dwayne and I said, brother, would you be willing to share? I wasn't here. It was me and Jenny's anniversary, and we skipped church that night. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of a church, to be able to say that I'm the pastor of a church that practices what they preach. And so I'm just proud to be a part of it. As the choir comes up today, I want to close with this as our invitation. Just like Dwayne asked the guy that came in off the street, homeless, what the world would look at and say, man, that's a rough character. If we heard the things that he was thought he had to confess to Dwayne, and Dwayne said, brother, I don't need to hear all that. You just confess it to the Lord. We would say, man, that is the lowest guy. I don't even know if I want him in our church. That's our worldly side of us is what we would say. But I ask you this morning the same question. Are you tired? Now, only God and you know which person in this parable that you can relate to the most. Maybe you relate to the first son, that rejected sinner. Maybe you feel like you're just rejected by the world or by the church because you're too bad. Maybe God can't save you. Maybe you're here today and then you can relate to the tax collectors and the prostitutes in those times. Maybe you're here and you think that you could never come into your father's vineyard, that he wouldn't accept you. Maybe you didn't grow up in church. Maybe you didn't even know that you were lost until you heard the gospel today. Maybe you've tried satisfying your soul with worldly desires of the flesh. Maybe you tried money, possessions, accomplishments, immoral, sensual pleasures. But still, at the end of the day, you find yourself empty and burdened. Maybe you've been rejected by a church. You've been hurt by church people, so to speak. Maybe you've been told that you're unworthy to receive God's forgiveness. Listen to what the Savior of the world is telling you today. You have a spot reserved for you in the front of the line. If you just simply change your mind, you repent and turn to Jesus today, not tomorrow, but today. God will not only forgive you and bring you into his presence, into his vineyard, but he will show you that he has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for you being created. He will show you what he wants you to do within his kingdom, within the vineyard. Now, maybe you're here today and you can relate to the other son. You've been in the church your whole life. You've been baptized or sprinkled when you were younger. Maybe your parents dedicated you as a baby and you thought that maybe that somehow covered you. But maybe you know all kinds of Bible verses. You've been on the church membership roll for years. But you're just as empty, you're just as burdened as those who have never heard the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. I can't figure it out. Why am I still struggling so much if I've been in the church all these years? Maybe you're tired of trying to undo your sin on your own strength. Maybe you're tired of just playing like you've got it all together. Maybe you've been working on your own strength, giving in to all these great things and giving to these great things, but you don't have a relationship with Christ. No matter how much you do, you're still not fulfilled. Either way, the answer for the both is the same. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus Christ's word for it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. What did he say? He said, repent. Repent and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Whatever person you relate to this morning, even if you're just like me and you can relate to both a little bit. You see, I was raised in church, but I still chose my own way for a while. And then I came back and I thought, well, maybe I can get back involved in the church and I can just act like I got it all together, but I couldn't fool God. Either way, God's grace and mercy is ready to cover your sins, cover your mistakes, your regrets, whatever it is that you think that you found that you can't do on your own. God's grace and mercy is ready to cover that today. So I want to give you this one last quote from Christ before we close. Luke chapter 5, verse 31 through 32 says this. Now remember, this is Jesus. I want to set the tone for you. He was being criticized by religious people for eating at Matthew's house because Matthew was a tax collector. And Jesus answers them and says this. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call those who I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners and need to repent. God wants you to work in His vineyard today. My question for you today, God is asking us today, will I obey or will I reject Him today? If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing. We just talked about it. If God is calling you to rededicate your life, to give your life to Christ for the first time, or maybe to do it right this time from the heart, whatever it is, the invitation is open. And we would be glad to not only receive you, to pray with you, to lead you in a prayer, to help you communicate with your Creator this morning, even though you don't need our help. You can just say, God, I'm a sinner and I'm ready to repent. And we'll be here to support you and be glad to pray with you. We'll also be glad to take you down to the river, like Corbin said, and seal it with a public profession of faith through baptism. If God is calling you this morning, come as the choir sings.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, who always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.